So, yeah, I was just talking to Jill about your group, and it sounds like you have a varying array of ages in your homes, and so I kind of thought that maybe that was the case. I've got a little bit for, like, what I'm experiencing right now with my launching adults, and but then also just a little bit of, like, what should I be doing right now to prepare my kids for adulthood. Some quick disclaimers. I am so in process, and I often am like, I don't know. I don't know what to do about that. You know, people will ask me things, and I'm like, I don't know, but here's maybe what I would do. You know, I've learned through the years that there have been times when I thought that I knew, and I'll actually talk about my kids doing this, you know, and you think that you know how you would do something, and then you get there, and you're like, no, I have no idea how to do this. So anyway, I even say it to my kids, like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, when they were in, the twins were little, I was like, you're my first kids. I don't know. You're my guinea pigs. We'll see how it turns out. So, second thing, I don't know many of you. I know some of you. But anyway, all stories stay here. If I talk about my kids, I'll try not to be specific about some of my stories, but my poor kids don't want women coming up to them and saying, I heard about you and this relationship. And so let's just keep it here. Not a disclaimer, but my kids. So yes, four kids. The twins are boys, Hayden and Joseph. They're 22. Hayden got married in June, married his high school sweetheart who he met here. She's a year older. Here's an extra little tidbit. This wasn't in my notes, but they came to us a couple years ago wanting to get married. That would have been Hayden going into his junior year. We knew that they had started talking to us about getting married his senior year of college. Before his senior year of college. And so we were like, okay, yes, if, because we tried to make that our answer, yes, if, and then we gave him many things that he had to check off the list commit to. And so, but anyway, then they came back and they're like, how about we get married this summer before our junior year? And we were like, no. No, you're not. You guys aren't getting married this year. Yes, it's hard. It's hard to say no to sex and all of that, but you even have to say no to it when you're married. You have to learn now how to self-control and have self-discipline and learn it now. And they wanted to get married for several reasons, not just that, but that's an obvious one. So anyway, where was I going with that? Okay, so Hayden's married. He's in his senior year. Gracie, his wife, is a music teacher in inner city Dayton schools. Very, 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 very hard job. Joseph is 22, senior medical student. Just had an interview at IU Med School a couple weeks ago, so we're waiting to hear on that. Jeremiah is a sophomore at Cedarville. So all my boys are at Cedarville University. He's a sophomore, worship arts and communication arts. He'd like to be a worship pastor. And then Savannah is 7. And
Seventh grade.
Sorry, thank you. 7th grade. You may have to do that a lot. Feel free. She's a 7th grader, yeah. And I homeschool her. Homeschool them all. And she's out doing schoolwork. Okay, so here we go. So I have 5 reflections, and like I said, these are things that I'm learning. I have 5 sisters, and some of them have kids that are even older than mine, and I've been gleaning from them for years. all the guys did a golf weekend a few weekends ago, and my sisters, we were all standing around the kitchen, and I was like, do any of your adult kids do this and say this? And they're all like, oh, you know. So, so lots of sisters, lots of girlfriends in the same stage of life that some of this stuff has come from that I'm going to talk about. But so my first one, I was thinking that the title was Parenting Adult Children. That's what I had in my head. It was like how to raise adults. I just looked on her original email to me. But anyway, so my first thing blank is they will always be your children, but they are not children. And they need to be not treated like a child. So they need space. Oh, another thing is I've had all boys, you know, that are adults. I'm sure there's some similarities with girls, a lot of them, but I would imagine things are a little bit different. I don't know, because I haven't done a girl yet. Mm-hmm. So maybe some of you who have done both can speak to that. They need space, don't hover, and frankly, don't be annoying. They get annoyed, especially with moms that hover and feel like they need to know every detail. And I love to know details. I am a question asker. They would come home from youth group. I was like, well, how'd it go? Well, what'd you do? What games did you, who'd you hang out with? Totally just interested, because frankly, I would have loved to have been there, you know? So I'm like living life vicariously through them, and they're like, Mom, you know? So, we earn the right to speak into our adult children's hearts and ears and lives. So don't be a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. I just love that as the imagery of how annoying that can be. And sometimes, frankly, we talk too much. And it could be you, it could be your husband. And in our case, honestly, I'm not a talker. So this is hard for me to sit up here and talk for 30 minutes. I'm a listener and a question asker. But Mark would, when we'd have conversations with the kids, knowing, you know, okay, we're going into a big conversation, I'd be like, short and sweet, just a couple things, and I'm going to cut you off if you don't stop, because then they're going to be like, seriously, this is taking forever. So help one another not to drive your kids crazy by over-talking. Get right to the point. Prepare yourself. You know what you want to say. What's the point you want to make? Make it and move on. So we gain passport by treating them with love and respect, and even respecting their time, respecting their intelligence. Because the more you talk, they start to feel like children, like little kids. Because, you know, they hear you talking to adults, and we don't address one another, you know, that way, our peers. But so they want to be treated that way. We lose passport when we nag, manipulate, and demand. So ask yourself, am I a nagger? Do I manipulate? Am I demanding? So my boys tease me that I can be passive-aggressive at times through my question asking. They say, and it's true at times, that they call them ask-tell questions. That I'm making a statement through my questions. And so sometimes I have to say, disclaimer, or like a, I don't know, I'm like, this is truly a question. I'm not trying to make a point. And I sent them a text the other day because Jeremiah and I share a birthday, and it was Monday. And I texted them a couple days before it, and I was like, don't forget, Monday is Jeremiah's birthday. Do you guys have to remind your kids that it's their one another's birthday? Okay. We're so not birthday people, so I did not raise, you know, good kids that way. I'm, like, having to really work with, like, remember your girlfriend's birthday, do something on her birthday. So, anyway, I sent them a text, and I had sent Jeremiah some cash to buy pizza for he and his friends that he lives with, and I was like, the boys would, like, love to know that Mom's buying pizza, and, you know, they did that last year. They ran down and had pizza with him, and so I was sending that text, and I was like, I'm not being passive-aggressive, just reminding you that it's Jeremiah's birthday. If you want pizza, you can go down and get pizza, And Joseph was like, Mom, that was totally passive aggressive. Laughy face, and, you know, knowing, thinking that I'm just, you know, want to remind him that it's his brother's birthday and he needs to do something about it. So, but, no, I totally am guilty of trying to make a point in a question. Let's see. So another thing on that is we all feel respected when we're heard, right? So our kids want to be heard. They want to know that they are understood and that they've been listened to. So be sure that you are quick to hear and slow to speak, as it says in James. And even a good habit, if it's not socially awkward, if they're telling you something really important, Mark and I will sometimes say, so what I hear you saying is this. And then, here's the hard part, you don't have to rebuttal or say something or give them feedback right then and there. It may be good to listen and walk away and address it later if you feel like, and pray. Do I need to address this, or is he in process? If he's in process, I need to let them continue to be in process and see what the Lord is, you know, going to do with whatever they're thinking about or talking about. And then remember, a gentle answer or no answer right away turns away wrath. So if they're, you know, they're fired up about something, it might not be the best time to say, well, if I was you, I would have done it this way, you know, not the best time. So think about that. So another thing, my next one is show verbal restraint even when they may not be. Like I was saying earlier about talking about things that you don't really even know. So my kids, I can remember when they were like juniors in high school, they suddenly were getting really wise in their own eyes. And, you know, saying things like talking about, like, I remember one of them during their senior year, they're talking about going off to college and finding his own church and all kinds of criticisms about College Park and what he didn't like about College Park and what he'd be looking for in a church. And knowing, of course, it's not a perfect place at all, you know, my husband had to just really be, you know, walk away from that and not say anything. And I chose not to either. I thought, oh, man, I really want to come to my husband's defense, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to, you know, be quiet and allow that to work out. And it did. He went off to college, and he looked and looked and looked and looked and looked for a church and came home that year. It was like, okay, College Park really is a great church, and I really did grow there, and, you know, so he knew, he learned, not that there's not tons of awesome churches out there, but it was what he was looking for, or his criticisms weren't as important as what he thought they were. You know, they've been critical, well, I shouldn't even say critical, they have said, well, I am not going to homeschool my kids, you know, or I don't say anything, but I want to say, yeah, I thought that too. And then I had you. And I was like, I cannot send this child to school for another teacher to have to deal with. I was a school teacher and I knew kids like that. And I was like, you guys, you need to stay home. And I didn't plan on homeschooling them all the way through. I was just going to do it for a couple of years and then it happened. You know, so they have, what I say are untested opinions about how to do something that they really know nothing about. So the point is, show verbal restraint, you know, just be quiet, let them learn that, and they may not come around for a couple of years, you know. My boys have all kinds of opinions about schooling and what they think they're going to do, and I just am like, well, cool, that's awesome, I can't wait to see, you know, how the Lord directs you when you've got your kids. And yeah, there are times I just have to be quiet and wait for them to figure that out in their own time. All right, number three. Get there. Okay, don't be demanding of their time, but be available when they want or need you. So Mark and I decided when our kids left the house that when they called, we would always be available. And that would be at all hours of the night and during the day, you know, when Mark's in meetings, he will step out of a meeting if the boys call him. He'll find out if it's important, and if it is, then he'll stay. If not, he'll say, I'm in a meeting, I'll call you back in an hour or whatever. But just being available whenever your kids need you has, and they have come back and they've said that, that they're grateful for our availability, and they know we go to bed early, and Jeremiah still calls at 10 o'clock at night, you know, and I'm just getting into my sleep, and he calls, and I can't not take it. I mean, it could be big, and then I'm like, hey, what's up? Oh, I'm just walking back from campus, and I'm bored. Poor buddy, glad I can talk to you. And I am, of course, so... then the don't be demanding of their time. Don't have expectations on them that that this shouldn't be there for holidays and vacations. And I think that one of the big stressors I've noticed as my boys have started dating girls is the stressors as to where they'll spend Christmas and the holidays. And, you know, and girls might be like, well, my mom doesn't say we have to be there on Christmas, but we have to be there on Christmas, you know? So be careful that you're not putting expectations on your kids, even if they're unspoken. You may have to say, listen, I know we've always done it this way, and give them the freedom to do what they need to do for their family. Or, you know, and I told my boys, anytime your girlfriends want to come and spend a holiday with us, we do special invitations for vacations, but holidays, you know, anytime they want to come and spend time with us that and it's good with their parents, you know, they're welcome to be with us because it's an awesome time to get to know their boyfriends, girlfriends, that type of thing. So just be careful of the demand of their time. All right, next one. Don't stiff-arm their boyfriend or girlfriend. I cannot tell you how many of my peers, you know, I'll say, hey, so is so-and-so dating anyone yet? Yes, and I just don't know. And of course you don't know. They don't know. You know, they're young. And don't reject their boyfriend, girlfriend. Give it some time. Let them work through. You need to give it... time and space so that you can maybe earn the respect or the right to speak into it later. Jeremiah dated a young lady for a year, and she's from here, and honestly, if they would have gotten married, I would have been totally fine. I loved her. It broke my heart. I cried and cried and cried when they broke up. But it's terrible, you guys. Your kids date these kids, and you fall in love with them, and you're like, oh, is she going to be mine? Is he? And then they break up. They had dated a year, and I had seen some things in her, and I said, can I speak into something? Can I ask you something about this young lady? And he was like, yeah, and he thanked me because I had waited a long time. He's like, well, how long have you been observing this? And I said, 6-8 months, and so, I said, listen, I love her, and I'd be fine if you guys ended up together forever. I just want you to be aware what that looks like when you're married, when you see that characteristic. And I said, now, she's young, and she's more mature than what I was when I was that age. But just, you know. So anyway... just give them some time and respect. And if you respect their boyfriend or girlfriend, then they might let you speak into that at some point. And I thought of Colossians 3:12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Here's the other thing. we think that we may know who and what type of person is the best person for our kids. We really don't. That is a work of the Lord and something that, you know, yeah. And when your kids leave, when they're adults and they're changing so much and people are feeding and things are feeding into their life and growing them up, and then you get to see them at holidays and vacations, and you really don't know them as well as what you used to. And so they may choose someone that you're like, I don't think that she's good for him or him for her or whatever. But just be cautious that they might be, and they just may need some time to mature and grow. Now, there's always the person that clearly they shouldn't be dating. They're unsaved. They're taking them down a path that they shouldn't, and that's a whole different story. By the way, I read this book in preparation for this, You Never Stop Being a Parent. Mm-hmm. And this goes in, it's by Jim Neuheiser and Elise Fitzpatrick. It was excellent, and it goes into tons of stuff like your kids, when should your kids live with you, and money, like how much do you help your kids, you know, through college, and you know, and all that stuff. That's super helpful if you are facing any of those bigger questions, and including like, what if your child is dating someone that you don't want them to date, and when to say something. I still think you still be quiet for a while. You know, they walk in through the door and they look not like what you're used to. People walking in through your door, then just give it time still, and don't make a snap judgment. Make sure I said everything.
What was the name of the book again?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You never stop being a parent.
Okay.
Thriving in Relationship with Your Young Adult. Elise Fitzpatrick. All right. And then, number five there is pray through the disappointments and release them for God to take care of. This is huge, because they will disappoint if they haven't already. And there'll be small disappointments, and big ones. They may move across the country to get away from you. They may struggle with same-sex attraction. They may drop out of college. Their marriage may end in divorce. And our kids are going to make choices that will grieve us, and we'll be sad about that. And I think something that's really important is to not, and this is maybe an opinion, well, all of these might be opinions, but I wouldn't use the word disappointment. I wouldn't say, you have disappointed me, you are disappointing. There's lots of other ways. Those were one of those words that sticks and kind of haunts people. I've talked with someone recently who... that word is a trigger word, because her parents were very, I'm disappointed in you. And really it's kind of a manipulative way to, you know, keep them under your reign and rule. There's just a lot of better ways to go about a conversation instead of saying I'm disappointed in you. But anyway, so they do disappoint. Things don't always go the way that we have planned. We have kids with the hope and intention to raise them to be God-fearing, Jesus-loving servants. But somewhere along the way, and I do this, have done this, still do it, think that the outcome of our kids' lives depends on me and how I do and what I say, how I educate them, how I prepared them. You know, things go a little crazy there. And... we're deeply disappointed when our little dream for our kids isn't happening. We have these pictures of the way we want things to turn out. And we've actually made our children into our own little idols. There's a really long passage in here that I wanted to read the whole thing, but I asked Mark, I was like, is this too long to read? And he's like, yeah, you'll lose them. But it's really good, and it's not by the author, it's someone that they interviewed. This is really small writing. And she talks about that very thing, that she thought, you know, the way her kids turned out was dependent upon her. And we all know that there are things that we do and don't do that do send our kids on certain paths. But ultimately, what happens to our kids is not fully our responsibility. But then she makes a turnaround and she says this: I wanted to have an open hand to the Lord by remembering Job. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This open-handed idea frees me from feeling that I am responsible for the outcome of circumstances that my children are deciding on. I totally release them to the Lord, who is sovereign. He knows and is overseeing every aspect of their lives. Somewhere along the way, I felt that I had to be the one controlling every aspect. Otherwise, I thought, oh no, they might end up doing something irrevocable or detrimental. Yes, they might, but God knows about that too. At this stage of life with adult children, this is not my burden to take up. God has a plan for each of them. I am only the messenger, the ambassador. The outcome belongs to the Lord. And honestly, that is something that is a daily laying down of my will and an active submission to the Heavenly Father. And a releasing of my kids. These are your kids. I'm doing the best that I can. And what they choose, what they decide is between you and them. And even if they're not walking with the Lord, I mean, obviously, as a parent, you keep pointing them to the gospel. But one really helpful verse in Romans, I think it's Romans 6 or 9, I can't remember. It says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on those whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. So he is the one that is the helper of our kids. I'll tell you a quick story. So homeschooled my kids, sent them off to a Christian college, and one of my kids got into a roommate situation that was really, really, really complicated and difficult. Once he told us about it, Mark and I had determined that we didn't want to step in. We wanted him to be able to figure out how he was going to, either he had to live with it, the situation, or he needed to get help from the school. And so I am not a crier, literally cry like maybe twice a year. And I got off the phone, he just was like a month into the school year and he was breaking up with his girlfriend all at the same time. Poor guy, it was awful. But I'm on a heap on the floor bawling because of the situation and just so worried about him with this girlfriend and this roommate situation. What is he going to do and how is this going to affect him and impact him? And I was so scared, but then I was like, this is out of my control. This is the Lord's and Joseph. He's walking with the Lord. He will go to the Lord and the Lord will help him through this. And he did. And the really fun thing, we went to visit him like a week later because he was really struggling. And they're just a couple hours away. And we were walking around campus and he's bawling. But through the tears, he's quoting scripture that he was living by. And had we rescued him and intervened, called the school, what's going on here, he wouldn't have clung to the Lord like he needed to and learned everything that he needed to and hear from the Lord. So, yeah. All right, so what did I put on my notes for this next thing? Okay. I was going to put the warning soapbox. Okay, so here, this is a warning. And I asked this of my husband, should I say something? Because it's something that's been on my heart a lot for several years, actually. Raising kids in this church. And he's like, yeah, you can say that. Just remind them that this is an unbiased, you know, this is, I'm married to the pastor, and this, we're passionate about this church, and so this is an opinion, totally an opinion. It's a soapbox. I don't share it with many people unless it's appropriate, but for whatever reason, I was working on all of this, and I was like, I just want to say this. So I've prayed about it. I take it or leave it. You ready?
Yeah, that's a deal. It's just very opinionated.
So around junior high, our kids' opinions get stronger and louder and louder, and what they think of us really starts to matter. And frankly, at least for me, too much. And we want them to think of us as like the nice, cool parents, you know, not the mean, restrictive teachers. But then our kids, you know, they don't want to do something that we want them to do. And one of those might include going to youth group or going to church. And for whatever reasons, when I ask kids or I ask parents whose kids aren't going to youth group, they usually say, these are usually the three reasons. I don't have friends there. People aren't friendly, and it's not very much fun. And do you hear those reasons and how self-centered they are? It's all about if I have friends, if I think that they're friendly enough to me, and if it's going to entertain me. And we raise really... I mean, I know I do. I got a house full of self-centered people, and I'm self-centered. And parents are afraid to say that to their kids. Well, what about if you go and you be the friendly person? And do you really need to be entertained? Maybe you just need to go and sit in small group and pray for some other people. Maybe your friends aren't there, but there's other people there that are looking for friends who need a friend. And it's not in your social group, but so there's all of those reasons. But then there's also something that I've observed over the years. When kids get out of the house, they start to think, well, they may think that church is optional because it was optional. Mm-hmm. Things like youth group and church and prayer service and things were optional when they were growing up. Then why isn't church optional now, because I didn't have to go then, why should I go now? And they may never commit to a church. They may never grow deep with people and be committed to a group of people and learn to serve other people who aren't like them and build into other people, because they weren't taught that it was something to do, you know, when they were in high school. And I know it's a hard stage of life, and they're trying to figure themselves out, but sometimes they're too focused on figuring themselves out. Go and figure someone else out. Go and serve someone else and not think. And I've had to say all this to my kids, so, yeah, we've been through it. And we had that conversation when our boys were all leaving college. We were like, we are going to check in with you. You will be finding a church. We're giving you about 6 to 8 weeks that you need to visit a couple churches and figure out where you're going to go. We'd like for you to become a member. And so they've done that. Well, Jeremiah hasn't done that, but that's because he's on a singing travel team and he travels to different churches every week. Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. There's my opinion. Take it or leave it. All right, next one is be crazy for that senior year. And frankly, that whole high school, how many of you guys have high schoolers right now? Okay. She's in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. Freshman? Mm-hmm. Aww. Crazy. But yeah, there, you'll notice that as you go through each year, I feel like that freshman year is pretty crazy. I think they're really super insecure. And then sophomore year gets a little bit better. And junior year, at least with my kids and the kids that I've observed, by the junior year, they're like, okay, this is who I am, and I'm thinking about the future. And So, but that senior year is just nutty because you really need to start releasing them to make their own decisions. We allowed all of our kids to date their senior year. You know, I know some people are like, you know, date whoever, whenever, just figure it out, you know, as you're growing up. And other people are, no dating. Our thing was, is at least for us, we wanted to help our boys know how to treat a young lady, how to talk to a father and asking mm-hmm. these girls out and just all that stuff. And I mean, I had to work through birthdays and Valentine's days and I was so sick of helping them come up with ideas for affordable ideas for all these occasions. Lost my train of thought. So they need to be able to test making their own decisions. So Jeremiah's senior year, he wanted to, what was it? Oh, he auditioned for a musical, and he got the lead, and he's Tarzan. Once he was offered the spot, you have like 2 days to make the decision. And he's like, what do I do? This is huge. And learning all the lines and the choreography and songs and everything and the amount of practices. And I was like, it's your choice, bud. You know, you jump on basketball season. Your grades have to stay at a certain level for scholarships. And, you know, and I lay it all out with him. And he's like, all right, well, what do you think? And I'm like, this is you. This is, you know, you need to take this. Because if it fails, you need to know what it feels like. You need to know what your threshold is. And because college is full of opportunities. Everyone's vying for your, you know, your involvement. And so so he literally said to me, can you please just make this decision for me? And if any of you knew Jeremiah, that's crazy talk because he's super independent and crazy driven. And I was like, no, I'm not making this. This is your thing. You just got to be at church on Sunday and youth group on Wednesday night and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, he did it. And after he committed to it, I was like, one observation of you is the busier you are, the better you do. And he's just like, if he knows he's got an hour to study, he kills it and he studies and he's fine, you know, so he's just one of those type of people. So anyway, that, there you go. So tuck that away for your senior year is a really interesting year, but it's really fun because you're starting to let them, you know, feel that, okay, I'm making my way out the door and it should be exciting. Hopefully it's exciting. It's really fun, really fun stage. I guess if they're making good decisions, then it's really painful if they're not. Number 3, they're watching your marriage. It better be good. They are forming who they want to spend time with and who they might marry while they're in your house, even if you don't even think that they're observing, they are. You want them to have an example before them that is a good one. In that there's love and affection, and my favorite marriage verse is to outdo one another in showing honor. And so hopefully our boys see Mark and I deferring to one another constantly, showing honor, taking care of one another. One of our boys broke up with a girl. Because he was like, it just, our relationship didn't look like yours and dad. And I was like, well, it doesn't have to look exactly. And he said, no, it just wasn't there, the desire to serve one another and to outdo one another and showing honor. And so they're watching. I also highly recommend, so your marriage needs to be awesome. Start talking early with your kids about who they're hanging out with. And Savannah's in 7th grade, and I literally every once in a while, not a lot, but I'll be like, so-and-so, he's kind of hanging out. and he's cute, and he's fun. What do you think? I'm like, I just want to know what you think. And so she'll say it, and then I'll drop it. You know, I'm not going to have a, and I'm like, I'm not telling you I want you to date him or anything. I just want to know what you're thinking about young men. You know, is he a friend? Are you attracted to him? What are you doing with those feelings? Is he someone that you think that would treat you the way that dad treats me? You know, so she's super uncomfortable with those conversations. It's all right. I mean, and I usually just do it one-on-one when I have them in the car all by themselves. I'm certainly not going to do that in front of the boys. Because they, she's like, they're never going to let me date anyone. So basically make them want what you have and just that your marriage is good, that they should want it. And if your marriage isn't good, I've got friends that have bad marriages. You can still help your child see good in the marriage and or good in their future mate and talking through without disrespecting your husband and, you know, conversations of this is what I want for you. I want you to have a marriage that looks a certain way. And they know. I mean, by the time they're juniors and seniors, they're fully aware as to what your marriage is really looking like. All right, number four. Have fun. Be a yes parent once in a while. Don't you feel like you're saying no all the time? Just be a yes parent when you can. We try for vacations to be yes parents. Can we get ice cream? Yes. For the third time in a row, yes, we can do that. Seriously, try to be fun. Plan fun. Plan vacations. They don't have to be expensive. They don't have to be extravagant. Even if it's just one night away somewhere in a cabin. Don't buy Christmas presents one year. Do something instead. We did that last year. Got a good friend who's super creative, and so I do what she does. I'm like, what'd you do last year? Right, I'm doing that this year. We didn't buy Christmas presents last year. Hate Christmas shopping so much, you guys. There's someone's like, Christmas is 2 months away. I'm like, shut up.
I don't know.
It is 2 months away.
Is it two? They said then I went home. I was like, Christmas is coming. What are we doing? Because I'm not buying Christmas presents. So we got that figured out. Last year we spent a day, it wasn't on Christmas Day, and you guys ever heard of Cash Cab?
Yeah.
That TV
yeah.
show? So we did Cash Cab with the kids, and Mark did the trivia, and I had a stack of ones and fives, and if they got the answer right, and the boys were all like, what about Savannah? She's so young. I'm like, you wait, this girl's smart. You know, they've been gone, they don't know what I've been teaching her. And she and I play Trivia Crack all the time, too, so... you guys know that game?
Yeah.
Love Trivia Crack. You gotta play Trivia Crack.
It's an actual game.
It's like a yeah, like an app.
Buy it.
Yeah. An app.
Yeah.
No, it's free, isn't it? Okay. I don't usually buy apps. So we would drive from place to place and play trivia and we did like an escape room and a movie and we gave them like a little bit of money to shop for something, so we went to the mall and, you know, run to Starbucks, you know, so one day, and that was so much better for me than sitting on Amazon, scrolling through, as much as I love Amazon, anyway, be fun, be creative, this year when I found out Christmas was coming, somebody had to tell me. I was like, Mark, what are we doing? We are borrowing someone's house in Arizona. We counted up our points. We put our college bill on Southwest Airlines card.
Yeah.
And so we are going to Arizona for a week.
Cool.
And, with Hayden and Gracie, we're like, we're going to Arizona. You're welcome to come with us. Because they had informed us this was a weird moment for me. She's at Hayden, Texas. We're spending Thanksgiving with you guys and Christmas with them. And I knew that was coming, but when it, the text came through, I was like, oh. And so anyway, we were like, okay, we're going to present this, and it's going to be, they're going to be like, absolutely, we're going. We don't want to miss out, you know. So, so that's what we're doing, and everybody's going. And I don't have to shop. And on Christmas Day, we'll just hang out and watch movies. All right, lastly, I've said this several times. All kids are self-centered, so we need to model generosity and hospitality. So while they're still in your home, while they're young, they're watching what we do. As our kids got older, think about the time, like, you know, sophomore, junior, senior year, when they're deciding what they want to do with themselves and college and all that stuff. We started to let them in on some of our giving because we felt like they know we tithe because we tell them we do. They don't know how much. Told them our percentage that we tithe, and then we told them all the other little things that we do, missionaries that we help, people that in the family that we send money to that need help, and, you know, because we were like, they have no idea what we do with our money, you know, and so we wanted them to know that as they're choosing what they do, and looking at, you know, how much money does, you know, Hayden was, how much money does a paramedic make, because that's what he was thinking at one time, and, you know, so just something to think about, a lifestyle where you can also be giving at the same time. So some other things that we did foster care, which was amazing because they had to give up their beds and they had to give up their toys and food and me, and they had to share with kids, strangers coming into the house. They loved it, actually. Obviously taking meals to people. My favorite is when I took like a pot roast and, you know, a really nice meal to someone, and I came home and I made us pancakes, mm-hmm. and they were like, where's our pot roast? It's like, our pot roast went to so-and-so. We gave them the better meal, you know, and there's having people into your home, being generous with your time and your energy and your money to serve people. Everybody can't do this. But for whatever reason, I think because with homeschooling, I had to bring my ministry into my home. We've had around 10 people live with us over the years, including my mom currently lives with us. Some significantly needy people required a lot of my time and attention in counsel. But it was good for them to see some of the people that lived with us, and then I was able to use it, and I was like, because of her choices, this is where she's at, so be careful as to who you marry, because, you know, marriages fall apart if you don't choose the right one and they're not walking with the Lord, and, you know, then that will stay, you know, the picture of this woman who lived with us for a year crying through the night. You know, they'll remember that forever when they're dating, and they do. They've come back and they've said, "I remember this," and they were thankful for the people that we've taken in over the years. So that's it. That's what I've got for you. There's one thing I do want to encourage. And I think I put it in one of the questions. Is having a favorite parenting passage. I've got two. And that you're praying that over your children.